book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. And we'll read from chapter 1, the book of Numbers, and we'll read from chapter 1, commencing to read at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take thee the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their port. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them with their armies. Down to verse 52. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard, throughout their hosts. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house, far off. I want to change that expression. It's really over against the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And on the east side toward the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. Look at verse 10. On the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben, according to their armies. Verse 18, on the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim, according to their armies. Verse 25, the standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side by their armies. Look in chapter 3 a moment, and we'll look at verse 23. The families of the Gershonites shall pitch behind the tabernacle westward. Verse 29. The families of the sons of Kohath shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle southward. Down at verse 35. And the chief of the house of the father of the families of Merari was Zuriel, the son of Abihail. These shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle northward. And then look down at verse 39. All that were numbered, that's not the verse, verse 38, but those that encamped before the tabernacle toward the east, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons. Now I'm sure that the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious word to our own hearts. Our brother Maxwell, yesterday in his ministry, made reference to the book of Numbers as he was bringing before us very forcibly the truth concerning the local assembly. Now I want us to look at the book of Numbers and just very quickly give a little outline as to the book, remembering that it is really a book of the wilderness. First of all, its position. We all know that it is within those five books called the Pentateuch, the books of the law. If I was to use one word for each of these books, I would say that in the book of Genesis, we have ruin, the entrance of sin. In the book of Exodus, we have the thought of redemption. And we're all familiar with that. In the book of Leviticus, the word I would use would be reverence. It's linked with the sanctuary. In the book of Numbers, the word recognition. Recognizing what God has done. Recognizing what they should be. And recognizing they were but passing through a wilderness scene. And in the book of Deuteronomy, I would write over Deuteronomy the word readiness. That is, preparing, being in readiness for entering into the land, for going over. It's really the second given of the law. Not that there are two laws, but it's a reiteration in readiness for going into the land. In the book of Genesis, we see man going down. Now I know, brethren, that God calls men. I know that there are certain men who God calls and uses and are marked by faith. I know that full well. But what I mean by man going down is just this. That it commences with a man in the garden in fellowship with God, and it ends with a man in a coffin. Now that's just what sin has done. And if there's to be anything for God, then God has to move. And in the book of Exodus, it's man being brought out, as seen in the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, they're being brought out of the bondage of Egypt and Pharaoh. In the book of Leviticus, it's really now man going in. It's the sanctuary, and we have the offerings, and we find the way of approach entering in. In the book of Numbers, it's man going through, passing through the wilderness. And mine, you will find that the wilderness has an effect. And if you see the numbering in the commencement of the book of Numbers and the numbering at the end, you will find that there's a reduction in fighting men. And the incidents between the two numberings will give you the reason for the reduction of fighting men. Brethren and sisters, why is it that in the day in which we live, there's a reduction of believers who will stand firm for the truth of God and the principles of gathering? The answer may be found in the book of Numbers. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's really going over, going over. In the book of Genesis, we see the ways of God with individuals. Adam touched him. Abel providing. Enoch walking. Noah delivering. Abram calling. Isaac establishing. Jacob wrestling or chastising. And Joseph blessing. It's the ways of God with individuals. When we come to the book of Exodus, it's the work of God for Israel. And in the work of God for Israel, we'll find that there's redemption and there's construction. There's a finished work and there's a filled house. And brethren and sisters, remember that the principle we see in the book of Exodus is true today. I'm not saying there's doctrine in the Old Testament concerning the church or the assembly now. But what I'm saying is that God is unchanging and the principles we find are abiding today, and you'll find that God delivers a people out of the bondage of Egypt and Satan in order to be gathered around himself in the tabernacle. And it's the mind of God not only for sinners to be saved, but that those who are saved, having been baptized, because baptism is linked with salvation. I'm not saying you have to be baptized to be saved, so don't misunderstand me now. But having been saved, the next step is baptism, and it's the mind of God that those he saves from the bondage of sin and Satan are to be gathered to the Lord's name in the locality in which they're found. It's the work of God for Israel. In Leviticus, it's the worship of God in the sanctuary. The worship of God in the sanctuary. And you have the approach offerings. And you have those feasts. You have the offerings. And you have order. And you have observances. It's the worship of God in the sanctuary. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's the wealth of God in the inheritance. And you remember in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it's a land of brooks and fountains, a place of satisfaction, and of wheat and barley, a place of sustenance, and of honey, a place of sweetness. You can relate all that to the child of God. But in the book of Numbers, it's the witness of God through pilgrims. And I think it's around about 80 times. I hope our brother Walter won't pick me up for saying about 80 times. It might be 79, it might be 81. About. You will find that in the book of Numbers, around about that figure, we have that expression, wanderings. It has the idea of journeying. You see, they're on a journey. They are pilgrims. And it's the witness of God through pilgrims. Now that's its position. But then, we have its purpose. Its purpose for us today. That's what's in my mind. You see, brethren and sisters, you will find that the book of Numbers is quoted again and again. Numbers chapter 11, Numbers chapter 14, Numbers chapter 21, Numbers chapter 25 is quoted there in the New Testament. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we know that these things were written for our examples, or types, or figures, that we should not lust after evil things. It's written for our admonition, for our learning, for our warning. So brethren and sisters, don't set aside the Old Testament, and don't set aside the book of Numbers now, will you? The apostle quotes it again and again in 1 Corinthians. Why?
Well, if 1 Corinthians is written to the church of God in Corinth.
And by the way, that expression, church of God, always refers to the local assembly, never to that which is dispensational. And even that reference in the book of Acts that persecuted the church of God, it really has reference to the local assembly which was there at Jerusalem. And the book of Numbers is the same, you see, has the same thought. Here in the wilderness, there's an assembly. Oh, not the assembly that we find in the New Testament. No, 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 no. The assembly in the wilderness, a people who are gathered out from and gathered to. So there you have its purpose. And then you find in the book of Numbers, its pictures. In Numbers chapter 9, you have the Passover. And brethren and sisters, the Passover is for gratitude. We must have our hearts occupied with the Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Oh, brethren and sisters, don't fault us for going back to the time when we were saved and the time when we saw Christ there upon the cross, bearing our sins in his own body upon the tree. Remember the Passover. The Passover is for gratitude. Our hearts must be occupied with Christ, our Passover. Our affections are stirred and moved every time we think of the cross. But then you will find in Numbers chapter 9 and 10, you have the cloud. And if the Passover is for gratitude, and my heart must be occupied with the Passover, I must always and ever remember the cross. The cloud is for guidance. I must have my eyes upon the cloud. I must move in keeping with the Word of God. And to move outside the Word of God. And to lose sight of the cloud is to lose a sense of his presence, guided by his word. You see, they needed to have their hearts occupied with the Passover. That's for deep gratitude. But they needed to have their eye upon the cloud if they were going to move in keeping with God's purpose, God's will, God's mind. If they were going to enjoy God's presence in their midst, they must be guided and guided alone by the cloud. And brethren and sisters, you will remember, won't you, in 1 Corinthians over and over and over again, we have reference to the Lord. He controls. It's not our opinions. It's not our ideas. It's not man-made plans that are to be carried out in the assembly. We are controlled by the Lord. It's what the Lord says. It's the Lord's will. It's the Lord's plan. It's the Lord's pattern. And mind you, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul, he says, he's laid the foundation, and the foundation was Jesus Christ. It's important, brethren and sisters, the order of the names, because Jesus Christ emphasizes he is the despised one. And do remember that the local assembly is founded upon the despised one. And because it's founded upon a despised one, the local assembly can expect to be despised by the world.
Of course, it takes character for it from him, too.
But then you will find in Numbers chapter 10, we have another picture. We have the ark. And the ark is really not so much for gratitude or guidance. The ark is really for government. And if my heart must be occupied with the Passover Christ, and if my eyes should be upon the cloud for guidance, then my will must be subject to the will of God. It's the ark of witness, witness to his presence in the midst. Governed, subject to the will of God. You remember, is it Psalm 132? Will you? We heard of it in Ephrata. We found it in the fields of the wood. Kajatjilam. That is, David is singing. We heard of it in Ephrata. As a boy, David heard about the ark. And as a boy, divine impressions were made upon him. And divine impressions being made upon him as a boy there in Ephrata, when he came to the position, when he came to the throne, he saw to it that the ark had its rightful place. Young believers, make sure that divine impressions are made upon you concerning the local assembly. Make sure that divine impressions are made upon you that those who are gathered to the Lord's name are to be governed by the word of God. Make sure that divine impressions are made upon you that the only thing that God has in this world are the assemblies, are companies who are gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't say the only persons. Every child of God belongs to him. But brethren and sisters, the only companies that God has upon this earth are believers who are gathered to the Lord's name. Make sure that what you believe out of conviction. Because if what you believe because of circumstances, or because your parents believe that, and because of conditions, when conditions change and circumstances alter, you'll alter also. So we have the ark, that's for government. And then we have the trumpets, and that's for gathering. We must have our ears tuned to the trumpets. Brethren and sisters, and if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, then there's not that clarity as to the gathering. You see, the principles of gathering must be unfolded, and there must be clarity in relation to the principles of gathering. Brethren and sisters, the reason why sisters should have long hair and brethren short hair is because God says so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You read it. It's not the whim of some men who are sometimes called cold and legalistic. No. There's a pattern in the word of God. God declares plainly and clearly. And the reason why sisters ought to have their heads covered is because 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says that they ought. And the reason why sisters should be silent in the assembly is because the word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 1 Timothy chapter 2 states it. Brethren, sisters, we need to have clarity in regard to the principles of gathering, and the trumpets are for gathering. And then we have, in Numbers chapter 19, we have the red heifer, and the red heifer is for godliness. For godliness, to maintain purity and morality. It was for the body. Now you will notice, brethren, that there's no labor in the book of Numbers. You see, there's no labor in the book of Numbers because it's not the cleansing of priests that's in view. It's the cleansing of pilgrims. Now, I know every child of God is a priest. So don't pull me up after and say, well, you know, we're all priests and we all need the labor. Thank God we do need the labor, that's true. We need cleansing day by day in order that we might be priestly in our activity. And it's pilgrims that's in view in Numbers. And it's the red heifer. And it's cleansing relative to purity and morality. And brethren and sisters, if ever we need to stress the absolute importance for every child of God in the assembly to be marked by purity and fidelity and morality, it's the day in which we live. So we have its pictures, the Passover for gratitude, the cloud for guidance, the ark for government, the trumpets for gathering, the red heifer for godliness. But then you'll notice it's people. You find there in chapter 1 and verse 1, you will find it's the second year after deliverance. Actually, if we want to speak in and make application concerning the people of God, they are 13 months old. 13 months old. They're not long on the road. They're not long on the road. I'm lifting principles. They're a saved people. A people who have known what it has meant to be sheltered by blood. A people that has known to be set free from the bondage of Egypt. And brethren and sisters, we must remember relative to a company, and we have a company here, relative to an assembly. And I'm not suggesting, mind you, that somebody who's just recently been saved be brought into the assembly. I'm just lifting principles. I'm pointing out that these were a saved people. These were a people who were sheltered by the blood. These were a people who were delivered from the bondage of Egypt, set free. And everyone in the local assembly ought to be saved. Oh, you say, Mr. Harding, you're not going to tell us that there are those in assemblies and they're not saved? Brethren and sisters, I want to say there are more in assemblies who are not saved than you and I think. It's not enough to be able to tell a story. It's not enough to be able to say, oh, on such and such a date I was saved, and that's the verse I was saved by. There are those who are good at telling stories. They need to be able to show by their lives that the story they have is genuine. It's possible for one to be in this company and you're in fellowship in a local assembly and you're not saved. You've never realized Your guilt and your vileness, and you've never trusted Christ. I'm not suggesting there is. I said it's possible. And all in the assembly ought to be saved. But then, you will find that they were not only saved, you'll remember that they were passed over. Passed through the Red Sea, you'll remember that. And you'll remember that they were sustained. That is, they fed upon the roast lamb, and they fed upon the manna in the wilderness, and they drank of the smitten rock. That is, and I'm lifting the principle, that is, they're in the good of the death of Christ. And they're in the appreciation of the smitten rock. They're in the good of the work of Christ, the death of Christ. And they're appreciating the example of Christ in the manna. And they're refreshed by the Spirit of God. So they're a sustained people. Appreciation of the death of Christ. In the good of the death of Christ. That God speaks to Moses in the wilderness out of the tabernacle. Leviticus is God spoke to Moses out of the tabernacle. But you see Numbers is stressing the wilderness. Leviticus is to govern us in relation to our access. That's worship. But Numbers is to govern us in relation to our testimony. That's worship, warfare. We must know what it is to be with God within before we can be for God publicly. Before we can be right outside, we must be right inside. Numbers shows that God is taking account of us. In Exodus 30, it's in relation to redemption. Here, it's in relation to testimony in the wilderness. It's in regard to the defense of the testimony, the defense of truth. The place is the wilderness. These numbered are looked at as warriors. The principle is witness. And the purpose is warfare. Now, I know that word is also linked with worship, by the way. Now I want to show the four qualifications very quickly in regard to this witness, this public witness. You notice in verse 2 of chapter 1 it says, of Israel. If we had read verse 18, it speaks about pedigree. The first is reality. He must be an Israelite. Must be genuine. And brethren, we need plain, powerful, pointed preaching of the gospel. A light gospel is causing a tremendous amount of havoc amongst the assemblies. And I'm not speaking about North America. I don't know very much about North America. But I'm sure the same is true in North America as is true across there in Britain. Reality. Now, I'm not going to stress that. We need the fear of God in our midst. Those in the assembly must be genuine. Ezra chapter 2, Nehemiah chapter 7 shows that there were those in the list that could not show the pedigree. And remember, it's possible to be children of the servants of God and not be saved. And it's also possible to have natural links with men, spiritual men, and yet not be saved. You see, it's not links with great men on earth, or even godly men on earth. It's links with the man in the glory. Didn't we have that in Titus? And it's in 1 Timothy 2, my genuine child. Reality. But then there must be a priority. You say, what do you mean? Now, you will notice that I said public witness and testimony. It says every male. It's the public side of things. It's not superiority, but it's priority in public testimony. Now, dear sisters, do remember, it's not inferiority. God has a sphere for sisters and a sphere for brethren in the local assembly. And our brother Maxwell hinted on it, at it in the ministry yesterday. There are parts of this body that's not seen, and they're absolutely vital and very often far more important than the members of this body that can be seen. And brethren and sisters, the sisters are in the place of silence. They're not seen in that sense in a public way, but they're absolutely vital to the local assembly. Very often it's because of the presence of godly sisters that there's been a volume of worship ascending to God on the Lord's Day morning, and sometimes brethren have got up and they've never even reached into the sanctuary. Now, you know what I mean, brethren? I'm speaking of priority, the standard for public testimony. And the standard for public testimony is the Word of God. And the place of public testimony belongs to the males. That's why when it came to the public witness, the public testimony of the resurrection, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 never mentions Mary. She was the first to see the risen Lord. That's why the Lord never chose a woman to be one of the disciples, to be one of the apostles. That's why not a woman was chosen with the 70 that were sent out. Because it's a public thing, brethren and sisters. And headship belongs to the man, not to the woman. And that is shown in the gatherings of the Lord's people by the sisters covering their heads. That should mean, brethren and sisters, in creation, God has said that man is the head and the woman is in subjection. And that, the symbol relative to that is the woman's long hair. But when it comes into the assembly, she willingly takes a covering and covers her hair. What is she doing? She's showing that in redemption and in the assembly, she is willingly, out of love to Christ, taking the sphere that God has given to her. And she wants to display that to the wondering eyes of Angelicians in the gatherings of the Lord's people. So you have priority. Priority. Then you have maturity in verse 3, 20 years old. The idea is of manhood. And that's a measure of appreciation of the testimony. And you'll find that in chapter 3, the redemption money is 5 shekels, not half a shekel as in Exodus chapter 30. Because there's more value placed upon a man in public testimony who has experienced regarding that testimony than a man who's just saved. Now, I am not undermining the value of a person saved. It's the precious blood of Christ. I'm not undermining that at all. But what the Spirit of God is emphasizing here is that public side of things. A measure of maturity. And then you'll find there's to be ability. All who are able.
Again, I'm dealing with the public side of things. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Brethren and sisters, those who stand upon the platform must have ability. And as our brother Maxwell said yesterday, and I say amen, the judge of a man's gift, a man's ability, is not himself, but others who have ability. Let one speak, and the others judge. But he must not only have ability, he must be marked by faithfulness. You see, brethren and sisters, there are brethren who have ability, but they're not faithful. They don't give overall the truth of God. They're not like the Apostle Paul, who could say that I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. They're not faithful. Oh, they have ability, all right. And they've moved away from the principles in the Word of God. Those men have no right to be on the platform. Those men have no right to be in the conflict in regard to the assembly, the company, because they're not faithful and they would lead astray. But then you have men who are faithful, who faithfully adhere to the Word of God, who are faithful to the principles of governing, but they have no ability. Well, the platform's not the place for those either. Only because they have no ability. And remember, at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not ability that's going to matter, it's really faithfulness. And we'll have some surprises. So we have these principles brought before us. And you will notice that it's Moses and Aaron with the princes that number. You see, the same principle governs the assembly. Moses and Aaron, let me suggest, are a picture of the Lord, the Lordship of Christ. But here the princes, the elders. But then very quickly, I want to come to the standards around the tabernacle. Now I want you to notice, brethren and sisters, and I change the reading in verse 2. That expression, far off, is really over against the tabernacle. That is, they were to be as near as possible to the tabernacle geographically. Oh, you say, does that mean that I should be as near the gospel hall, the place where the saints gather together, as possible geographically? Well, brethren and sisters, if it's possible, yes. I know very often it's not possible. And I know in this country, with places scattered so far, well, you could get the population of Phoenix in a very small place across in the old country, because they're all nearer together. So if possible, yes, brethren and sisters, but that's not really what I want to emphasize here. I want to emphasize spiritually, that is, that the assembly is to be in your affections. Have the assembly in your affections. And it is having the assembly in your affections that will make you near to it. It's not tradition, mind you. And there's good tradition. And it's not even truth. Although we must be near to truth and measure up to truth, it's because of the person.
Oh, brethren and sisters, what a dignity, what a privilege to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus with Christ in the midst. And I'm one of those who believe that only in the assembly can you claim that Christ is in the midst.
It's the passion. He is the attracting one. He's the attraction, isn't he?
He attracted the two disciples from John Baptist, who said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And my brother, my sister, if Christ hasn't attracted you to the assembly, then you won't think very much of the assembly.
I want to say, brethren and sisters, if I was in the assembly because of my brethren and my sisters, I would have left long ago.
Perhaps some of my brethren and sisters would have left because of me too. But I want to say that I'm there because that's where the person of Christ is. And I'm attracted to the person of Christ. Oh, I'm attracted to fellow believers, yes. But my attraction is the person of Christ. And when it costs you something to come out of the systems of men because of the lovely person who has captivated your heart, you'll not return in a hurry. By the grace of God, I've never been outside the assemblies, and by the grace of God, and in travelling days I've done, I'll not move outside them. It's because of the person. He is attracting. He is acknowledged. We're gathered to the Lord, name of the Lord. He is assessing. He's walking among the lampstands. He's attracting. He's acknowledged. He's assessing. Oh, if we only get a grip of it, our brother Maxwell touched it. That the assembly is espoused to one husband as a chaste virgin. It's espoused to one husband. That is undivided affection. As a chaste virgin, that's undefiled activity. They were to be over against the tabernacle. Oh, that we have the local assembly in our affections. Oh, there's four sides, aren't there? You remember the east side, the rising of the sun, the first thing in a new day. And although there are three tribes, you will find that the principal tribe was Judah, and the standard was the standard of Judah. And Judah means praise. And linked with that standard of Judah, there was Aaron and his sons' priesthood. You know the first thing relative to the local assembly? It's praise and priesthood. Oh, I'm glad that an old brother put his arm around me when I first came into the assembly and pointed out to me that God didn't save me for my service. Yes, he'll have my service. Thank God he deigns to use me as a weak vessel, but that I might be a worshipper. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh, praise and priesthood and brethren and sisters, I want to say you can go in all the systems of men and you'll never find a gathering like on the Lord's Day. There at the Lord's Supper. And there's the function of the character of priesthood. It's collective, brother. It's collective. Oh, yes, every child of God is a priest and can move into the sanctuary. Thank God, I believe every child of God is a priest by birth. But you know, it functions really priesthood collectively. And on the Lord's Day morning, in the character of holy and royal priesthood, we move into the sanctuary. And there, the worship, the sands, and thank God the great high priest's gifts and arts. My, there's no gathering like that.
We should worship in every gathering. That's just, by the way, it's priesthood and it's praise.
And then you'll find on the south side, that side that's known for its warmth, the side where the river flows. Out of the altar there in Ezekiel,
you'll find that on the south side, the principal tribe, the standard is the standard of Reuben, the standard of Levi.
And you'll find that linked with the standard of Reuben, this Kohath, and his name means allied or serviceable. Watch this. Reuben's name means son. And so the first standard is linked with Aaron and his sons. It's praise and priesthood. But now the second standard, there's sonship and service. And they go together, brethren. Let my son go, that he might serve me. Son, go work today in my vineyard. You see, there's a dignity about service. And sonship and service, they go together. And in the local assembly, there's not only praise, priesthood, there's to be service and sonship. In the sense of the dignity. Now we can't touch these things. On the west side, you'll remember that side facing the coming of the high priest out of the Holy of Holies. On the east side, you'll remember, that's where the ashes, that's resurrection. And because of the resurrection of Christ, there's priesthood and praise. On the south side where that river comes out, that's the coming of the Spirit. And it's through the Spirit that there can be service. But now on the west side, you know, they faced where the high priest came out. That speaks of the Lord's coming, looking for his coming. The principal tribe is Ephraim. And that's fruitfulness, the meaning is fruitfulness, or production, and linked with that standard, there's the Gershonites. And you know his name means refugee, or stranger, and it speaks of pilgrimage. And brethren and sisters, there's production and pilgrimage. Walk is in view. Worship in the first standard. Work in the second, and now walk in the third. And you see, there's going to be production if we have our eye upon the coming of the Lord.
Of course, we go on beyond the rapture. I'm really thinking of the revelation. In light of his coming. And then finally, you'll remember there's the north side. And that's where the sacrifice is slain. Speak of the death of Christ. It speaks of judgment, and the principal tribe is Dan, and his name means to judge. Judgment. And the last standard on the move, the first standard, has to do with praise. The last standard has to do with judgment, for judgment is God's strange work. Brethren and sister, we ought to be slow to judge. We must judge when it's contrary to the word of God. And linked with Dan is Merari. And you know his name means bitter. You remember Mara? Bitter. Judgment is never pleasant. It brings distress. And what is this? Well, if we're relating to the assembly now, gather around, you'll find that first there's praise and priesthood. There's sonship and there's service. this production and this pilgrimage. But there's discipline and there's distress. It's not a pleasant thing to carry out discipline, brethren and sisters. It's not. And if the saints think it's a pleasant thing, then they've missed the mark. It's necessary to carry out discipline. And I endorse what was said the other day. Even if it's only one act of immorality, it's essential to carry out discipline because of the character of the assembly, the character of the one who dwells in the midst of the assembly, for the sake of the person or persons who are disciplined, and as a warning to the rest of the company. But it's not a pleasant thing. There's distress when it's carried out. And so you find there's discipline and there's distress. And there, it's not manner worship or work or walk. It's the ways of the assembly in maintaining the truth of God. Oh, my brother, my sister, I want to say, the most privileged place to be upon earth, having been saved and baptized, is to be gathered to the Lord's name, is to be linked with the Lord's people gathered to his name, the greatest privilege, the greatest dignity upon earth. But there goes along with that the responsibility, the corresponding responsibility. We trust that as we have looked at the book of Numbers, and we've seen the company, and we've seen how they are gathered, that we might have learned principles that God appoints us to be in the assembly, and he appoints us the place that he desires to have in the gatherings of the Lord's people. The Lord will bless his name.